It's time to talk hockey with the guys in the know. It's the Panthers Insider Show, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
From the Florida Panthers Radio Network studios, my name is Chris Whittingham. I'm joined by the radio voice of the Florida Panthers, Doug Clay. Let's take a look at the week that was and look ahead to the week that will be for your Florida Panthers. It was a profitable week for the Panthers. And before we get to what we're going to cover on today's show, I do want to give a special shout out to my co-host this morning, Doug Plagans. He is doing hero's work. He is live from the Pacific Coast, from Los Angeles. It is 6 a.m. local time there, and you have still summoned the energy to be here with us this morning. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning to everybody out there, and thanks for being with us today. And again, it is quite early over here in the Pacific time zone. Panthers taking on the Los Angeles Kings this afternoon. But fitting that I guess I'm on the air early out here out west because it's an earlier game. The Panthers will hit the ice. It's going to be 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock local time out here in Los Angeles. But 4 o'clock Eastern, the Panthers will hit the ice against the LA Kings. You, of course, can follow that on Fox Sports Florida, and you can follow it right here on the Panthers Radio Network. So don't miss this one coming up this afternoon. Panthers looking to complete a two-game season series sweep of the Los Angeles Kings. So 4 Eastern, Panthers in LA today, and then for tomorrow night for the second end of the back-to-back, it's down the 405 to Orange County. The Panthers will take on the Anaheim Ducks. That's going to be a 9 o'clock Eastern time start tomorrow. Tuesday, the Panthers wrap up this four-game road trip at 8:30 Eastern against the Dallas Stars. Panthers then back home for a two-game homestand Thursday at 7 against the Arizona Coyotes. Saturday at 7, a week from tonight at 7 o'clock against the Boston Bruins at the BB&T Center. 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. And a reminder, folks, that season tickets for next season for the 1920 campaign, they're on sale now. Season ticket holders receive exclusive benefits, including priority access to BB&T Center concerts, merchandise discounts in Pantherland, and more. To enter the territory, go to FloridaPanthers.com or call 954-835-PUCK. So the Panthers taking on the LA Kings coming up this afternoon. Again, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Make sure that you are ready to watch that one coming up this afternoon. The Panthers will look to make it 4 straight wins, as you alluded to, Chris. The Panthers have had a big week, and we're going to hear from Bob Bugner talking about it a little bit later on in this segment. Panthers head coach will get his thoughts not only on that last game against San Jose, but we'll get his thoughts on the action coming up today against LA. We'll hear from Alexander Barkov, the Panthers captain. We'll hear from goaltender Sam Montembeau as well, who has backstopped the Panthers to those last 3 victories. So we'll hear from him coming up later on. We'll get a cut from the most recent episode of the Territory Talk podcast, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. And if you haven't heard it yet, FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite podcast, you can find the episodes of Territory Talk. And the most recent one, Jameson Olive and I sat down and chatted with Frank Vetrano, had a great conversation with him, and we'll hear a cut from that coming up a little bit later on in the next segment. And later on in the hour, speaking of Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, he'll join us as well. That's going to be later on in the hour to help us preview not only today's matchup against LA, but the rest of the road trip for the Panthers. And, of course, the Panthers with the two-game homestand coming up later in the week, Thursday and Saturday at 7 against Arizona and Boston, respectively. But, Chris, we've got lots to cover here in this hour as the Panthers, as you said, coming off a big week and looking to keep things going here this afternoon.
Yes, and trying to keep up this chase for the final playoff positions as we enter the morning. The Panthers is currently sitting on 74 points from 70 games, chasing the Columbus Blue Jackets, who hold that final playoff spot, beat Carolina last night, so they actually are both level at 83 points. So the Panthers, with a back-to-back in Southern California against the two teams bottom of the Western Conference, certainly an opportunity for the Florida Panthers to pick up at least 3 points maybe and try and continue on that chase for the final playoff positions. But let's go ahead and get to the week that was for the Florida Panthers. It was a profitable week, although it was a fairly light week in terms of the number of games played, only 2 games, and both of them victories. We'll start with the game at BB&T Center on Sunday as they took on the Detroit Red Wings, and Josh Brown got things started early.
Brown to the near side, Pesek up the boards, a bouncer into the near circle. It's Brower, heads down to the left wing corner, out to the high slot, a good pass, shot, score! Josh Brown, his first National Hockey League goal off a great setup from Troy Brower, and the Panthers take a 1-0 lead.
And as Doug just mentioned there, a first NHL goal for Josh Brown gets things started. Brower on the assist along with Mark Pesek for the Panthers. And then 3 minutes later, the Panthers would embark on a power play. And this time, it'd be Jamie McGinn who would add to the Panthers' lead.
Ekblad brings it up the near side, hands it back. Borgstrom across right side, Trocheck at the right point. Borgstrom, center of the line, near side. One-timer Ekblad, rebound in front, they score! Jamie McGinn on the doorstep with the backhand. And the Panthers have a power play goal and a 2-0 lead.
And a solid start for the Panthers. 10 minutes in, they'd be 2-0 up. They'd enter the first intermission with that 2-0 lead. And at the other side of the break, Frank Vatrano would make it 3-0.
Around the end wall, this one picked up by Hoffman to the line. Ekblad long shot tip, they score! And the Panthers take a 3-0 lead. And in front of the net, it was Frank Vatrano. Looked like he got a stick on it. And the Panthers extend their lead to 3 goals.
And that would not be Frank Vatrano's last goal of the week. More on that when we get to the game against San Jose. Thomas Vanek, 4 minutes later, would get one back for Detroit. So it would be we'd have a 3-1 score entering the second intermission. But then the Panthers would come out firing at the start of the third. First on the power play from Jonathan Huberdeau.
Near side, Huberdeau. Into the slot, Huberdeau hands it off. Dadonov looks across, back door, and they score! Jonathan Huberdeau on the doorstep, and the Panthers get a power play goal, and they've made it 4-1.
And the Panthers' second-ranked power play in the National Hockey League, getting a pair of goals in this one, but they would not be done. 90 seconds later, we'd have another first goal scorer of the year.
Yandel, far side, Weaker, short pass. Here's Shea up through center into the offensive end, far circle. Shea back in front, and they score! Dryden Hunt, his first National Hockey League goal, and the Panthers have taken a 5-1 lead.
And what a night it was for the Florida Panthers, getting a pair of players scoring their first ever NHL goal, this time Dryden Hunt from Sheehan and Uyghur. And Alexander Barkov, who you'll hear from later on here in the Panthers Insider Show, just make sure.
Barkov, far corner, backhand in front, bounce to Dadonov. Dadonov, right point, a drive from Uyghur is blocked. Now over to the far corner, Huberdeau there. Huberdeau in front, Barkov, a shot, top shelf, he scores! And the Panthers have taken a 6-1 lead, and that's 30 on the year for Alexander Barkov.
And this is a performance coming off a game in which Alexander Barkov had 5 assists. And so Alexander Barkov just making it an even better week. Huberdeau and Uyghur on the assist. Uyghur with a pair of assists on the evening. And Doug, looking ahead to these games with Anaheim and the Los Angeles Kings, you'd really classify them as take care of business games, particularly in a playoff chase. And this was definitely that. Detroit second from bottom in the Eastern Conference, and the Panthers give them a right hammering.
The Panthers just ran away with that one. 6-1, the final score, and scoring from across the board, and that would be the theme when we went into the San Jose game as well. But you mentioned a couple of guys scoring their first National Hockey League goals. Huge congratulations to Josh Brown, Dryden Hunt, certainly something they'll each remember for the rest of their lives. And that was just part of the offensive outburst in that one, was Josh Brown and Dryden Hunt scoring their first goals in the National Hockey League. Frank Vatrano continues to find the score sheet often. And then, of course, Alexander Barkov, his first career 30-goal season, as he stays red hot lately. He's just been on a heck of an individual run. So the Panthers, like you said, Chris, they came out in that game, they took a lead, and they just built on it and never looked back. It was a great top-to-bottom win for the Panthers in that one. And Sam Montembeau was very sharp as well when called upon, turned away 19 of 20 Detroit Red Wings shots in that game. That was his second NHL victory between the pipes, so can't forget about him. Even though there was the offensive outburst, the 6 goals in that one, Sam Montembeau, especially early on when called upon, made some big saves and really helped the Panthers get that momentum going, and they were able to ride that momentum throughout the game en route to a 6-1 victory. And then it was a few days between games as the Panthers made the trip way out west to California.
Yes, indeed. The West Coast road trip would start in San Jose. It's a difficult place to play. San Jose, top of the Western Conference in terms of points going into this one. So the Florida Panthers with an uphill battle against a very good home team, a team that scores a lot of goals, and score a goal they would to open this one. Melker Karlsson with his 12th of the year for San Jose to make it 1-0. But 4 minutes later, Jamie McGinn would tie the game up.
Loose in front of the net. Pavelski can't clear. Hauerluck in the high slot. Gives to the far side. Long shot. Ekblad tipped on the way, and they score! Jamie McGinn from right out in front. And the Panthers have tied the game at one.
And the Panthers had to withstand a lot of pressure in that first period, and then it finally yields. Jamie McGinn with his fourth of the year from Ekblad and Jace Hauerluck, a second assist in as many games for Hauerluck, and assisting on the opening goal as well. But 3 minutes later, San Jose would be able to regain their lead. Kevin LeBanc with his 13th of the year from Justin Braun and Brendan Dillon. And after one period of play, it would be 2-1 to the San Jose Sharks. Then in the second period, we'd have a run of power play goals, but first it would be power plays for the Florida Panthers, but first it would be at even strength that the Panthers would tie the game up for a second time.
In come the Panthers off the draw shot, and they score! Dryden Hunt from the high slot, and the Panthers have tied the game at two. A wrist shot from the high slot beats Martin Jones, and the Panthers have evened the score early in the second.
A first NHL goal on Sunday, a second NHL goal on Thursday, a second goal in as many games for Dryden Hunt from Brower and Shin. But the Panthers, despite going down a couple of times, would not look back from here. It would be a slew of power plays in the second period, one in which they were unable to score, a second double minor in which they're unable to score. But finally, last 90 seconds of the second period, Mike Hoffman would get that power play goal.
Angles it out to the near point. Yandle across. Hoffman straight on a drive, and he scores a power play goal. And that was a rocket off the stick of Mike Hoffman. And the Panthers have their first lead of the night. It's 3-2.
And Mike Hoffman's 32nd on the year as he continues his incredible season, tied for 20th in the NHL in goals with Matthew Tkachuk of Calgary and just 14 off the league lead. Mike Hoffman continues to have a fantastic season. And on the power play, the Panthers finally get their goal from Yandle and from Barkov heading into the third period with the lead. And again, you're looking at San Jose and you're going, this is a team that can score a lot of goals, can come back from a goal deficit, but the Panthers needed that fourth insurance goal. And they get it from Frank Vetrano.
Feed couldn't reach Sorensen. Now Hoffman in for the Panthers. Gets one back in front. Backhand shot. Then a goal, and they score in front. Crashing the net in front was Frank Vetrano. And he got a stick on it as he was taken down to the ice. But he's able to sneak one past Martin Jones. And the Panthers have a multi-goal lead.
Yeah, it looked almost as like it was an optical illusion. It went in and very quickly went out. But Vetrano gets his second in the week and his 22nd on the year. What a find for the Florida Panthers. Frank Vetrano getting that fourth goal, and that would be the final score. Florida winning in San Jose by 4-2. And it really was, I don't want to say a surprising result, but definitely not one that you would expect. This is a top team in the Western Conference, now second in the West behind Calgary, who overtake them for 95 points. But what a result for the Florida Panthers and San Jose, Doug.
And the Panthers complete a two-game season series sweep of San Jose. Remember, they had a 6-2 win over the Sharks at the BB&T Center back in late January. So a couple of wins against San Jose this season, outscoring the Sharks by a combined total of 10-4 over those two games. Third period, they got that big insurance goal, as you mentioned, Chris, from Frank Vetrano, one the Panthers had to have in that game. And, of course, goals in back-to-back games for him. 21 of his 22 goals this season coming at even strength, which is very impressive as far as that total goes. And then in the second period, you pointed to Dryden Hunt and got that first NHL goal on Sunday, second goal in as many games. He's a guy who put up some monster numbers during his junior hockey career, so he certainly has a scoring touch, and he showed it there early in that second period. Mike Hoffman with the eventual game-winning goal, his team-leading 32nd, his team-leading 15th power play goal of the season. The Panthers now with a power play goal, at least one power play goal in each of their last five games. So the power play that's been so consistent all season long has been especially red hot as of late. But that was an important power play goal for Mike Hoffman late in period number two to give the Panthers the lead that I guess would be their last lead. They would never look back. They added to it there in the third, and they were able to make that a 4-2 win in San Jose. Jamie McGinn also scoring for the second straight game in that game on Thursday in San Jose. So contributions coming from across the board as the Panthers beat the Sharks by a 4-2 score. And now we go into hearing from Panthers head coach Bob Boughner. First thing I asked him about was, and this was after practice yesterday before the Panthers made the trip down to Los Angeles. Here's Panthers head coach Bob Boughner with some thoughts on Thursday's win at San Jose.
You know, I think after the first 10 minutes, we played fast. I think we dictated the pace and the tempo of the game, and it's something we talked about before the game, is using our speed. You know, they pin you in your end, and they try and grind you down, and they got a lot of zone time, and they still did last night. I think the difference was 6.5 to like 3:40 or something. So, you know, you just got to be patient with that team, and I thought we were. I thought that we, you know, started getting better as the game went on, and I thought that we just took what the game gave us. We didn't try and force things, and you know, and ultimately we had some good special teams as well.
And how happy were you with how Sam Monsonbo responded in his first road start in the NHL? I know that was something that you were going to be looking at a lot last
year. Yeah, you know, we talked about not an easy building and, you know, giving up that first one. He just kept his composure, and we needed him at the end for sure. He made some great saves, and, you know, that's a big step for him. I think that winning some home games, playing his first couple games in the league, coming on the road now, especially the West Coast swing, and playing as well as he did in game one, it's good to see for him.
Defensively, what have you liked the most? Seems like you guys are really not allowing much in the way of odd man rushes, breakaways. There haven't been many of those against you lately.
Yeah, that's been our identity, and that's you know, I think that the guys understand that. That's half spear mentality, and you know, I think the chances were 10-7 for San Jose last night. So we didn't, you know, they don't give you a lot. You got to capitalize and execute on your chances, but at the same point, we're pretty stingy as well, and it's been like that for the last four or five games, and it's the way we got to continue to play to have success.
And you look at this game coming up here against LA, obviously Barkov, Kopitar, always a matchup that presents itself quite a bit. What stands out for you, not just with the matchup, but when those two guys are on matched up against each other?
Yeah, it's always fun to watch. They're two big horses that do a lot of great things in similar games, and so that'd be a good matchup. And obviously, we beat them pretty handily last time, and anytime that happens, you know they're going to be coming, and they're not going to be ready. And you know, again, it's an afternoon game. It's a 1 o'clock start. It's something that we're not used to. So you know, it's a team that I think starts on time and it has the best first period that's probably going to have success tomorrow. We don't want to be that team that, you know, takes to the second or third period to finally wake up. So we'll talk about that as we get into the game time. But you know, we got to just concentrate on playing like we've been playing, and it's stingy D, and it's you know, five guys defending hard and making the other team defend, and that's the game plan going in there tomorrow, and same thing Anaheim on Sunday.
Panthers head coach Bob Bugner right there with some keys against the Los Angeles Kings for the game coming up today. It's going to be a 4 o'clock Eastern time start when the Panthers meet L.A. So a 1 o'clock local time start. And, of course, that changes everybody's routine a little bit when you hit the ice for the 1 o'clock game locally. But the Panthers will be ready for this one, taking on an L.A. team that they do have one win against this season. So the Panthers and the Kings coming up 4 o'clock Eastern time today. You can catch it on the radio network. You can catch it on Fox Sports Florida. Lots of different ways to consume today's game. You don't want to miss it. More, though, as we preview this one, here is Panthers captain Alexander Barkov. He'll talk a little bit more about this game coming up against L.A. But first, here he is on starting this road trip with that win in San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to end winning streaks, and we played against a really good team and get a win from them, and I think we feel confident right now. We're on a good roll and just need to keep going.
You talk about the confidence the group has right now, not giving up a ton of big scoring chances. It seems like you guys have really clamped down, not giving up many breakaways, odd man rushes. What's been the biggest key to that in your mind defensively?
No, we just try to do everything what we've been told to, and like playing our systems and try to spend as much time as possible in offensive zone. And obviously when there's going to be some breaks, they're going to get like chances. We have money in the net. He's been good. So just try to play our systems, and that's it.
Looking at this game against LA, a matchup, obviously, I'd imagine you expect to be on the ice against Andrei Kopitar quite a bit. You like that matchup? You like playing against him? A lot of people like to compare the two of you.
Yeah, he's a good player. It's tough to play against him, and he's good defensively, and he's going to pay for your mistakes too. And I mean, it's always exciting to play against those type of guys, like superstars. And I mean, it's another challenge for me and not for us. It's going to be a good game for us, and we just need to play the same way we did against San Jose.
And LA, a team that you beat not too long ago, can you draw anything back from that game in Sunrise against LA?
Yeah, I think we played overall a good game. Like, our power play was good, PK was good, and 5-on-5 we played really good. So we just need to do that same thing and play in their zone as much as possible and put pucks through the net and go there just like we did yesterday.
And the last thing, a 1 o'clock game. Anything different you do for a 1 o'clock game?
there's no morning skate and probably no nap, so just wake up, get some food, get ready for the game.
Alexander Barkov, Panthers captain right there. Panthers and the Kings today, 4 o'clock Eastern. You don't want to miss this one. But Alexander Barkov, his first career 30-goal season, so he's building on that. He has 78 points right now. That ties his career high, so his next point will be a new career high. And he's just been on a huge point pace lately for the Panthers. So he'll continue his big season today when the Panthers meet the Kings, front end of a Southern California back-to-back set. The Panthers have won 3 straight games, and Sam Montembeau's a big reason for it. The young Panthers goaltender's been in net for all 3 of these wins. Here is Sam Montembeau on starting this 4-game road trip with a victory against San Jose, and it was his first career road start in the National Hockey League.
It feels good. It was a great game. I think we played very well. We built our game as the game went on. We were better and better. PK was also great for us. And Terry, we got two big kills there, so it was really good.
Just 3 in a row you guys have won. Can you sense a confidence about the group right now? Just what's the feeling right now?
Yeah, we're playing very well. We got contribution from everybody, and every night everybody's showing up for work. So it's been good, and offensively too, we have a lot of chance, and we were able to bear down on these chances, and everybody's playing well. We just got to keep it rolling.
And you talk about keeping it rolling to get this road trip started with a win here. Just how big is it, not only against the team that you were able to beat, but to start off a long road trip with a victory?
It's obviously big for us. Like, we knew they're really good at home too. I think they were like 12-1-1 in their last 14, something like that. So it was a huge win for us, and especially now we're trying to make a push for it to make into the playoffs. So it was big for us, and we just got to keep it going in LA, and I'm in Dallas for the rest of the trip.
And you look at this game against LA, just in terms of preparing for a 1 o'clock game, an afternoon game, anything different you do in terms of getting ready for an early game?
Yeah, it's obviously different. Usually when we're at 7:30, we always have a morning skate in the morning, so it's different. But you just got to get your ice and have a good breakfast, good meal, and then just be ready to come to work.
Panthers young goaltender Sam Montembeau right there. He is working on an individual 3-game win streak as well. So Sam Montembeau, great to hear from him. He's been doing a great job back there in the nets for the Panthers. His first NHL road start, his first NHL road victory, that game against San Jose back on Thursday. So again, can't say enough good things about what he's been able to do lately. 3-0-1, his first 4 NHL games. And the Panthers, of course, getting set to take on the LA Kings coming up this afternoon. It's going to be a 4 o'clock Eastern time start. You don't want to miss that one. And that's what's coming up today. 4 Eastern today. Panthers in LA will hit the air for Panthers preview at 3:30 across the radio network. And then the Panthers will be in Anaheim tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, 8:30 pregame on the radio network. You can always catch the action on Fox Sports Florida as well. So lots of different ways to take in the Panthers action coming up on this road trip. 8:30 Eastern on Tuesday, Panthers visit the Dallas Stars. Then it's back to the BB&T Center for Thursday's game at 7 against the Arizona Coyotes. So that's what lies ahead for the Panthers. 954-835-POCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com for tickets. And folks, you can grab your family, grab your friends, and enjoy all the action the Panthers have to offer with the Salins Red Hot Value Pack. Starting at just $27, you'll receive a ticket and a parking pass in addition to a hot dog, beverage, and popcorn to a game. Tickets may be purchased in increments from 2 to 8. For more information, go to FloridaPanthers.com. It's the Panthers and the Kings coming up at 4 Eastern today. And Chris, we've got lots more to cover here in this hour.
Yes, you do indeed. We have coming up an interview that you guys did, you, Doug Plagans, and Jamison Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, with Frank Vetrano. Then at the end of the hour, we'll be talking to Jamison Olive on the phone. But coming up next, you hear from Florida Panthers forward Frank Vetrano on the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
It'll be Thursday's game against Arizona, 7 o'clock start time at the BB&T Center, 954-835-POCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. But if you haven't checked out the Territory Talk podcast, do it every week with Jamison Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you catch your favorite podcast, you can find Territory Talk. And this week we caught up with Frank Vetrano, and it was actually the 1-year anniversary of the start of Territory Talk, and it was just over 1 year since the Panthers acquired Frank Vetrano. And again, he's been a huge addition to this Panthers team. This year has himself 22 goals, 21 of those coming at even strength. that total leads the Panthers, his 21 even strength goals. But the first thing we asked him, and this is a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. You want to hear the whole thing, you can go to floridapanthers.com/territorytalk. But first thing I asked Frank Vetrano is how it's felt to be a Panther.
Oh, it's been awesome. I felt comfortable ever since I came here. As, like you said, it's been a year anniversary, and you know, it's gone by fast. Obviously, just signed an extension here. It was a place I wanted to be. I wanted to be ever since I came here. So I want to be part of the future and be a big part of this team. But you know, the guys, the management, the coaching staff, everything here has been exactly what I wanted in the team, and it's been a great transition so far.
And you look back at your time in Boston, kind of everything leading up to this. You're one of those guys that always thought, you know, if I get that opportunity, I know I can make something of it. And I mean, this is a tough league to play in. A lot of guys, you know, just don't make it. A lot of guys have that thought, they get that chance and it doesn't work out, or they never get that chance. Just how good does it feel that you got that chance and kind of did what you want to do? You made the most of it, and here you are, like you said, 3-year extension.
Yeah, I think all the NHL is obviously about how hard you work and all about the, you know, if you get a good opportunity, you got to brace it right away. And I got some of opportunity in Boston, and you know, coming to Florida, I kind of got an opportunity right away, and it was something that I just needed to grab a hold of and kind of take it as it goes. And I feel like this year, I took advantage of my opportunities. And I obviously granted to be playing with some great guys and guys that make the game a lot easier, me being a shooter, just trying to get open and trying to get them the puck as much as possible. So, you know, just playing with those guys has made it a lot easier on me, and it's been a great transition, and I'm happy to be here.
We talked about it the day that it was announced a little bit, but to be able to not only get the 3-year extension, but to also get that trust from management and see yourself as a part of this core that's been assembled here that has a ton of potential. I mean, just to be a part of that group and to get that trust, what's that mean for you?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's obviously a great feeling knowing that they want me to be a big part of the future and, you know, be part of that group going forward. You know, I think we have all the right pieces in the room. You know, we're obviously going to probably add a little bit more once the end of the season comes and whatnot. But I think we have everything here in place, and we have a great future, like we've been saying for the past couple of years since I've been here. So I think we just need to, you know, obviously take importance into playing great every single night. I think sometimes we've taken some nights off and whatnot, but you know, we just need to make sure we're staying on track.
Since you got the opportunity here and over the course of last year, have you noticed any way, or have you felt any way maybe that you've evolved your game a little bit, or have you just kind of gone with, just played your game, played your style, stuck to it, and it paid off for you?
Yeah, just kind of playing my style and add a little bit more pieces to it. You know, if you're not a superstar in this league, you're not going to score every single night. You need to do things that are keeping you in the lineup and making sure you're impactful every single night. So for me, if I'm not scoring goals, I make sure I'm moving my feet and being physical and being heavy on forechecks and whatnot, whether it's playing good defensively on my walls or blocking shots. You just got to do something that basically be noticeable and to help your team win every single night.
And you talk about your journey. Like you said, you were up and down with Boston for a bit before you came here to Florida and got this opportunity. You had great seasons in the minor leagues. You were one of the leading scorers that one season. Is that kind of a double-edged sword? Is that frustrating to be the leading scorer in the minor leagues, knowing that like you're killing it here, you're so close, but you just need to get over that hump and get to the NHL?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is hockey has a lot of ups and downs, and you just got to stay positive. You know, I was down in the minors. I wasn't down there for too long, but, you know, there's a time where I was successful, and, you know, sometimes you don't get the call right away. So for me, it was just, you know, the call's eventually going to come, and you just got to keep doing the things you're doing. You can't get down on yourself just because you're not playing the NHL. You know, you're still playing the game you love, and you're getting paid to do it. So you got to come to work every single day, no matter where you are. If you're out of the lineup, in the lineup, or you're in the AHL, you just got to – you have the same attitude no matter where you are.
So many guys, they're 17, 18, they get drafted, and they're put on a path. They, for the next, you know, 5-6 years, they see where they're going, they know where they're going. But for you, undrafted, what was that kind of path, and kind of how did you forge your own way to get to the NHL?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to be undrafted, you just got to prove yourself. You know, if you're a first-rounder or second-rounder, you still got to prove yourself at the next level. And, you know, for me, it was a little bit different path, you know, being in two colleges, not playing for a little bit, and then, you know, getting the opportunity in Boston, you know, being undrafted. Obviously, you know, they have draft picks coming every year. So for me, it was making sure that I had a good start to my season and kind of made an impact right away. So, you know, I was in Providence and I got put in a position. I was on the power play and I was on the first line. So, you know, you got to kind of get, like I said before, you got to take advantage of your opportunities when you get them. And I think I did a good job at that when I was down there.
When you were a kid, was there, a time where it kind of clicked in your mind that this, you know, hockey was something you wanted to really make a run at? How old were you when you had those thoughts?
Ever since I think I started playing hockey when I was, you know, 3 or 4 years. I think I was on a team by I was 3 and a half. So, no, I always loved hockey growing up. And you always, you know, you say as your kid, you're growing up, oh, I'm going to play in the NHL, but not many of those dreams come true. And, you know, as you get to higher levels, you keep doing well, you kind of think to yourself, well, maybe I can make this a profession. And, you know, every level I went to, I did well. And, you know, I got the chance to play for the U.S. national team, which is every kid's dream growing up. And, you know, I committed to school when I was 16 years old. So I obviously knew that there might have been opportunity there for me to play at the next level. Then my draft year came around. I wasn't drafted. So you kind of think, oh, well, you know, am I going to make it to the next level? And you kind of have that little doubt in your mind. But for me, it was just knowing that I can play at that next level and then making sure I was staying positive and doing the little things to get me there.
Frank Vetrano of the Panthers right there. He was our guest on the most recent episode of Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Panthers. And you can catch new episodes of Territory Talk every Wednesday. And we talked to Frank Vetrano for pretty close to 20 minutes there. That was just a part of the conversation. You want to hear the whole thing, FloridaPanthers.com/Territory Talk. You can go find it there. And, of course, the Panthers going into game two of this 4-game road trip. They'll take on the LA Kings today, 4 o'clock Eastern, tomorrow night, 9 Eastern down in Anaheim, and then on Tuesday at 8:30 Eastern, the Panthers wrap up this road trip against the Dallas Stars. It's back to the BB&T Center, 7 o'clock Thursday against Arizona, 7 o'clock Saturday against Boston, 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com for tickets. You can come out to a Panthers game for a new taste to the BB&T Center. Enjoy 3 new culinary experiences at concession stands, including a brunch stand where you can get candied bacon on a stick, among other things, a classic chicken stand in Section 105, and a taco stand located Section 129 and 307. For more information, FloridaPanthers.com/concessions is where to go. We will talk about today's game and more coming up in the next segment, Chris.
Yes, indeed, Doug. You just heard from Frank Vetrano. Coming up next, you'll hear your co-host on that interview, Jameson Olive, covers Panthers, FloridaPanthers.com, talking about today's game and all the major talking points with the Florida Panthers at the moment, next in the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Chris Whittingham here in the Florida Panthers Radio Network studios alongside Doug Plagans, the radio voice of the Florida Panthers, looking back on the week that was and looking ahead to the week that will be for your Florida Panthers. It was a profitable week for the Panthers this week, winning on Sunday at BB&T Center against Detroit by 6-1. And then Thursday night, a fantastic away victory against the San Jose Sharks by 4-2. And now, a far busier week, just 2 games in the last week. Today, Panthers taking on the LA Kings. Tomorrow night at Anaheim, Tuesday night in Dallas, Thursday night back home against the Arizona Coyotes as we enter the stretch run here of this NHL season. And Doug Plagans, a lot to get to here with Jameson Olive of FloridaPanthers.com.
We will talk to Jameson here shortly. Reminder, folks, the Panthers have announced the first ever launch of 2 Girls Learn to Play sessions starting in May. Girls ages 5 to 9 will have the opportunity to learn to play hockey for just $175. All participants receive a free full set of ice hockey gear with their 6 weeks of on-ice training. Go to FloridaPanthers.com/learn-to-play for more information and how to sign up. You mentioned there, Chris, Panthers returning home after this road trip for a pair of games Thursday at 7 against Arizona and Saturday at 7 against Boston. 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com. But today, Chris, the Panthers will look to extend their win streak to 4 games, and they'll also look for a 2-game season sweep of the LA Kings.
Yes, they will. And joining us right now to discuss it all is Jameson Olive of FloridaPanthers.com. Find him on Twitter at Jameson Coop and read the coverage at FloridaPanthers.com. Jameson, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good morning. So I want to start with this road trip that gets off to a great start in San Jose. But I want to focus on one player with you here just for a moment, and that's the goaltender, Sam Montembeau, who's come in, won 3 consecutive games in goal for the Florida Panthers, a young player. What have you made of him since he's come into the team? And do you think this is a player that is part of the future for the Florida Panthers, that goaltender position?
I mean, I think he's absolutely part of the future. I mean, when Bob Bugner even said as much a couple of games ago is, you know, whether it comes this season, next season, wherever it comes, he's a guy that they've really pinpointed and targeted as, you know, a guy they've been grooming for a while now. He was a third-round pick back in 2015, and he's kind of been that guy ever since then, the heir apparent in net, really. But you look at the stretch here, I mean, he's been absolutely fantastic in these last three games. I mean, he stopped 70 of 75 shots. That's a 933 save percentage, which is just absolutely incredible, especially for a rookie goaltender that's, you know, facing competition like the San Jose Sharks the other night. And in that game, I think you really saw what the most impressive aspect of his game is. I mean, he comes in, he goes down, he gives up a rough goal early, goes down 2-1 in the first period, and then just absolutely shuts the door, stops the next 20 shots, and wins 4-2. And for a goalie to have that kind of composure, to not get rattled, especially in a barn like the SAP Center, one of the toughest places to play in the NHL against a team that, you know, had the most home wins in the Western Conference, San Jose Sharks, I think that's what's something you really can't teach, and I think that's kind of one of his most impressive weapons. And obviously you look at the actual, you know, physical tools. I mean, he's so agile, he's so quick out there, he gets from post to post so quickly. So the physical tools are there, but the mental tools for a goaltender can sometimes be the toughest things to achieve. And right now it looks like he's got all those tools.
And Jameson, looking back at that last game against San Jose, the Panthers were able to get the game tied up in the first period on a big goal from Jamie McGinn, and he's scored in back-to-back games. And just since coming back into this Panthers lineup, missed such a big chunk of the season coming off of surgery. But Jamie McGinn, talking about his play, what have you liked the most from him? He's just done a good job of playing that style of game that he plays, and that's getting to those tough areas. And he got rewarded for it with a goal for a second straight game last time out.
Yeah, and that's something Bob Boudner said. The team, you know, it wasn't doing enough of earlier in the season. They didn't have that big body in front like Jamie McGinn. He's been, just so, like you said, so great since he's come back. I believe that's 7 points in 11 games. And you see on all the goals he gets, he's not, you know, sniping a ton of shots. I think he had one of those a while ago. But, you know, aside from that, he just, you know, parks himself right there at the top of the crease and just goes in and gets the dirty goals, gets the rebound goals, gets the redirection, things like that. Just completely screens goalies, blocks out their eyes. So even when he's not scoring, he's helped other guys score with those goaltender screens. So he really does a little bit of everything. And not just that. I mean, in the locker room, I think he was missed as well at the beginning of the season. He's a loved guy in that room. He's a veteran. He's been around the block, and he's a guy that, you know, other guys in that room listen to. So he's just been a huge asset since he's come back. And look at the second unit power play as well. You know, Barkov is the net front presence on the first unit, but the second unit's also been scoring some goals lately. And Jamie McGinn's been a big part of that, being the net front presence on the second unit. So whether it's, you know, at 5-on-5 or with the man advantage, he's contributing in a lot of different areas right now.
And you mentioned Alexander Barkov. He's one of the best players in the world, but the level of dominance that he's displayed lately, what can you say about this, especially just the way that he's been getting on the score sheet? Seems like he's getting multi-point games every night lately.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I mentioned him there. It's impossible not to mention Alexander Barkov when you talk about the Florida Panthers. I mean, dating back to February 17th, he leads the NHL with 11 goals and 25 points. So he's a guy that we know could put up these points, but now he's starting to put up points at a rate better than, you know, guys like Connor McDavid, guys like Sidney Crosby. He's suddenly kind of showing off this, you know, wealth of offense that we didn't know maybe was there and existed. So, like you said, he's been absolutely tearing it up. And you look at kind of now here we are, 12 games left in the season, and, you know, a lot of guys like him, like Huberto, are approaching these milestones now and starting to get rewarded with these great individual seasons they had. And Barkov, you know, right now 78 points, two more, he becomes just the third Panther to ever reach 80 points of that season, joining, you know, the Hall of Famer Pavel Bure and Ole Jokinen, you know, franchise legend. So he's starting to, you know, approach that rarefied air. And let's not forget, he's just 23 years old. So this great season he's having now isn't, you know, a flash in the pan. This is the start of a bunch of great seasons he's going to have. And like I said, I think I said it a couple days ago to you, Doug, I would not be surprised now if you see Barkov, you know, knock out on the door at 90 points this season and beyond. So this is a guy that, you know, an all-world talent on defense, one of the best two-way players in the game, probably has a Selke trophy coming down the line in his future. A Lady Bing finalist, I'm predicting, this season. But a guy that not only has the defense, but can suddenly now be that offensive guy and lead your offense every night.
And what have you liked the most from the Panthers' power play going into this game against L.A. today? Five straight games with a power play goal for the Panthers, including what ended up being the eventual game winner last game in San Jose.
It's what they've done all season. I mean, the reason the Panthers have been successful on the power play is obviously the individual weapons. Mike Hoffman, you know, you saw the other night, just had that absolute blast. He's been a huge asset. Keith Yandel, one of the top power play men in the NHL, has been incredible. Barkov, Huberto, you go, the list goes on and on. Aaron Ekblad, we have potted a ton of goals for power play. But it's not so much the individuals, and it's how they work the system and how those individuals thrive within the system. And that's just, they're so good at getting in the zone. And once they get in the zone, it seems like they hold the zone for, you know, over a minute every time. They're always just, you know, throwing pucks on net, looking for that good shot. And then if they miss it, they immediately cycle it back up to, you know, whoever's out there. Usually it's Keith Yandle. So they don't waste opportunities, and they just hold the zone for so long that where, you know, opposing penalty kills down and eventually gets to the point where they do score. And like I said, when you talk about the individuals, every guy on these units can put the puck in the back of the net, whether it's, you know, like I said, Keith Yandle right now has 9 goals, which is, you know, a lot for him. He's been shooting a lot more this season. But you go to the second unit, you see guys, you know, like Frank Vatrano, like Kingham again, those guys also putting the puck in the back of the net. So it's an overwhelming power play from both units. And it's only, you know, Mike Hoffman said the other night when the Sharks kept throwing him on the power play, like, you know, if you give us this many opportunities, we're going to score eventually. We're that good. So for the Panthers, that's been kind of the case all season.
And last one, Jameson, before we let you get out of here, we have a back-to-back coming up here for the Florida Panthers in Southern California. You have the LA Kings this afternoon and Anaheim tomorrow night. This is an opportunity for the Florida Panthers. Obviously, every game is massive if they're going to make a playoff run here, but obviously 2 games against 2 teams bottom of the Western Conference, even if they're on the road, these are still huge opportunities for the Florida Panthers here.
Yeah, I mean, there's no easy games in the NHL. Nothing's given. But when you look on paper, you look at the schedule, you look at, you know, where the Kings are, where the Ducks are, these are 2 games the Panthers, you know, should win. And that's a difficult word because you kind of look back to last season. The Panthers, when they went on a run last season, they were dominating some of the best teams in the league. But then they dropped games to, you know, the Ottawa Senators, the Edmonton Oilers. And that's been, you know, the case a bit this season. We saw them lose to Ottawa a couple games ago here. And so for the Panthers, you know, they're so good at playing up to their opponents, like you saw against the San Jose Sharks. They just got to do better against these kind of, you know, cellar dwellers in the league that always, you know, seem to have so much desperation, you know, playing a lot of young guys, things like that. So regardless of where, you know, the records stand and how these teams look, you know, it's still a tough game. It's still going to be a difficult game to win. And but you go back to, you know, February 23rd, the Panthers beat the Kings 6-1 at BB&T Center. Looked absolutely fantastic. The Kings, you know, 2-10-4 in their last 16 games. So this is a game the Panthers, like I said, should win, you know, especially with, you know, Alexander Barkov, Alexei Kopitar. That's going to be the matchup to watch at center. It's going to be so exciting. Obviously, Barkov compared to, you know, Kopitar throughout his career thus far as, you know, just for being that guy, that two-way presence with the offensive upside. But like you said, on paper, Panthers should win this game tonight, should also win that game in Anaheim tomorrow. And if you pocket those 2 games and get a little bit of help in the standings, suddenly the Panthers, you know, things look a little bit different. I know we've been talking, you know, it's been, you know, a really difficult stretch here, but, you know, maybe if they win those games, maybe if they get some help, you know, suddenly that playoff picture starts to open up a little bit again and should make for an exciting final few weeks of the season.
And that is Jameson Olive of FloridaPanthers.com. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Jameson Olive joining us here. Again, check him out on Twitter at JamesonCoop, FloridaPanthers.com for the covers. Not just about doing it for this edition of the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Again, back-to-back LA Kings, Anaheim Ducks. Hear all the action right here across Florida Panthers Radio Network. Thanks to Doug Plagans. Thanks to Manny Chang. This has been the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.